Welcome to SMT Pod, the premier audio publication for the Society for Music Theory. In this week's episode, Aaron DiZarilla examines how the vocal utterances and nonverbal vocalisms in Ellen Reed's opera Prism conveys the complexities of the trauma experienced by survivors of sexual assault.
The following podcast comes with a content warning for auditory sequences of simulated assault, sexual abuse, panic attacks, and child neglect. Along with these audio examples, there will be discussion and analysis of the same topics in the context of this work. Listener discretion is advised. Prism was premiered in 2018 at the Roy and Edna Disney California Arts Studio Theater in Los Angeles, California. Upon release, it received wide critical acclaim, including the 2019 Pulitzer Prize in Music. Composed by Ellen Reed on a libretto by Roxy Perkins, Prism is a glimpse into a traumatic, abusive life through the lens of a daughter, Bibi, and her mother, Lumi. As the audience, we see the world through the eyes and ears of Bibi, a girl of unknown age whose innocence is ripped away through sexual assault, abuse, and the emotional trauma propagated by her mother, Lumi. Prism takes place over the course of three acts, starting with Bibi and Lumi's home, then moving to a nightclub, and finally returning to their then visually altered home. Prism, as an opera, is a harrowing piece, as it beckons the audience to question what is real, and what is only real in Bibi's mind. In a 2019 NPR interview, Ellen Reed detailed that Prism was first conceived in 2015. While it was written before the rise of the Me Too movement, the impact of this movement was felt during the production of Prism, with Reed stating, quote, "It was something that Roxy Perkins, the librettist, and I had both experienced personally, and it felt like something that we wanted to delve into together. As you can imagine, going so deeply into something that is so difficult is really challenging. There's something about the piece that makes people who haven't experienced sexual assault understand just a little bit more what it might be like." End quote. That last note by Reed is of particular interest. How is the pain and horror of assault translated into this operatic medium? In my reading of the opera, it is primarily through the protagonist Bibi and the evolution of her verbal utterances and nonverbal vocalisms. And this is not without precedence in the analysis of survivors in opera. In the 2021 paper, Survivor Songs in Opera, What the Vulnerable Voice Can Do, Olivia Blokel describes the stigmas around survivors telling their stories, with judgment focusing particularly on how their vulnerable state is conveyed. Blokel describes that modern perceptions of trauma describe its performance as all-consuming, embedded in the body, something that is expected to be perceptible through changes in vocal production, giving what she describes as tells for the audience. On the embodiment of trauma, Joy H. Calico describes within her chapter of Contemporary Opera in Flux how this is expressed within characters on stage during Chaya Chenovin's Infinite Now. Through nonverbal utterances such as harsh breaths and amplified heavy breathing, there are a variety of related ways that signal to the audience that a character is experiencing a traumatic event or a related relapse. Likewise, within Prism, I'm proposing that Bibi signals to the audience through perceptible tells and changes to her vocal utterances and nonverbal vocalisms her experiences of sexual assault and trauma. To synthesize these changes in verbal utterances, I will be using Crystal Spreadborough's distinctions between three sets of vocal tone descriptors: onset, sustain, and termination. I will also be referencing Stephen Connor's book, Beyond Words, and the discussion of nonverbal vocalisms, which are defined as coughs, cries, gasps, etc. These references were chosen for this analysis as they aid in describing the subtle storytelling found in verbal and nonverbal utterances in PRISM. Beginning with Spreadborough's vocal tone descriptors, Onset describes how words with vowels are initiated, specifically between glottal and aspirate onset. Glottal onset is percussive, with air suddenly being released with a good deal of force, such as in this, ask. Aspirate is a breathy, smooth onset, where breath passes through the vocal cords before they begin, such as this, ask. Glottal onset is associated with confidence, and conversely with fear, with a call to attention in many cases. Aspirate onset is associated with dueling ideas as well, both subdued tension and something more closely associated with anxiety. The importance of these vowel sounds is also corroborated by Stephen Connor, commenting that they are, quote, the soul of speech in their evocative possibilities. Next is sustain, essentially how vocal production develops between beginning and end. Unlike onset, there are a wide variety of possible binary descriptors here, loud or soft, vibrato or none, high or low range, and so on. Finally, termination is the conclusion of vocal production, with a binary between clear and tapered. Clear termination, as in pulp, and tapered termination, as in plush. Clear termination has more happy, light-hearted associations, whereas tapered has the connotations of fear and distress. Now, with the ideas of onset, sustain, and termination in vocal utterances, as well as nonverbal vocalisms, let's take a look at PRISM. At the opening of PRISM, we find BB in a barren, bright white bedroom with see-through walls. BB is on the floor, with her mother Lumi sleeping on the bed. BB, however, is awake, experiencing what appears to be a panic attack.
Barabi, Mintype, Jasmine Breeze, Bali Shays, Lace and Glowless, Moss and Sunmore, Sanctuary, Nitty Clove, Simamet.
In the context of the greater work, this flurry of nonverbal vocalisms represents BB reliving a past rape. Gasping for air and unable to maintain a steady breathing pattern, this creates what Connor describes as tears in the voice, conveying anguish through the sudden stopping of sound, indicating sobbing to the audience. The monotone voice present, however, is not seen on stage and recites what is described as a calming prayer for BB, forcing her to ground herself in her surroundings so as to not become overwhelmed. Once BB calms herself and her mother Lumi wakes up, BB's voice takes on a completely different quality. A drastic change from the traumatic opening. Emulating what we would expect in operatic singing, with strong vibrato sustains that reach into various ranges of pitch, and calmly tapered terminations, such as with, she, kiss, me. There is also a noticeable lack of nonverbal vocalisms, as in the first example. Bibi sings of her desire to experience the outside world, a life outside of this white box of a room. This change of expression shows Bibi's remaining innocence and naivete. This contrast of verbal utterances and use of nonverbal vocalisms highlights the dueling realities of an individual subjected to the horrors of sexual assault, while still maintaining hope and desire for more. In Act 2, Lumi brings Bibi to a nightclub. Flashing lights, pounding subwoofers, crowds of strangers, it is not a friendly environment for a child. After being coarsely told off by Lumi for giving their identities away to the bouncer, Lumi abandons Bibi in the middle of the nightclub. In one of the most chilling parts of the opera, the audience sees Bibi alone on the floor, spiraling into panic during the scene titled, "Mom, Come Back."
Midnight, jasmine breeze, body spray. Lace and glow sticks, gloss and summer. Sanctuary. Skinny clove, cigarettes. Breeze, body change. Lace and glow licks, goss and sunmer. Sanctuary.
While what exactly is happening in this moment is up for debate, there are two prominent possibilities. Either Bibi is again reliving her past trauma of a rape or has just suffered another sexual assault in the club. While neither is obvious from the staging or libretto, what is clear is the array of verbal utterances on display. The quivering sustains are prominent, such as the difference between the assertive summer and the repetition of the quivering sanctuary. For terminations, there is a combination of tapered and clear. Notably, listen to the evolution of the word midnight, which first appears with a clear ending, midnight, symbolizing confidence, and then evolves into midnight, with a tapered ending, indicating fear. Let's again listen to this segment.
Midnight, jasmine breeze, body spray. Lace and glow sticks, gloss and summer. Sanctuary. Skinny clove, cigarettes. Change. Lace and glow licks, goss and sunmer. Sanctuary.
Additionally, there is only one obvious vowel onset with the conjunction a, or in this case ah. This aspirate onset of ah, according to Spreadborough, indicates the dueling emotions of subdued emotion and anxiety. Fitting perfectly into the setting of this excerpt, Bibi is fighting back against herself and the environment, again referencing to Connor's description of vowel sounds being the soul of speech. Even this small moment of onset describes Bibi's state. Even further than the vocal tone descriptors, there are the nonverbal vocalisms, reminiscent to the opening of the opera, with continuous gasps and attempts to steady her breath. Moving to Act 3, the visual perception of the audience shifts alongside Bibi. Lumi and Bibi return to the same bedroom from Act 1, but it is no longer a barren white room. It is now covered in filth, is stained, enveloped in dirt and trash. As the scene continues, it becomes apparent that this apartment always looked like this. It was never clean and neat, never sanitary and safe, and always rotten. BB is delirious, still not fully recovered from what happened at the nightclub, and Lumi is seemingly uncaring. BB begs her mother for a change in life and evokes this wish through several different styles of utterances. First, listen to this excerpt. Before listening again, let's discuss several of the verbal utterances here. Notice the glassy, unwavering sustains of her plea, which then morphs into regular speech at the utterance of the word lying. Additionally, nearly all of her terminations remain tapered. Again, indicative of fear, most especially with the words anymore and lying. Finally, listen to the indications of the onsets, particularly the statement of I. Additionally, highlighted by descending tritone, is glottal in nature, projecting BB's feigning confidence to confront her mom. Let's listen again. Also notable in this excerpt is the creeping nature of Lumi's own nonverbal vocalisms rising into the texture. BB's vocalization shifts in reaction to the growing nonverbal utterances and tension of the texture. Harrowing and unsettling, Prism ends in ambiguity, with the future of BB and Lumi uncertain to the audience. The haunting sights and sounds of this opera play on our expectations of what an opera is and how embodied trauma can be conveyed on the stage or in the sonic realm. There are numerous things that could be analyzed within Prism, including, but certainly not limited to, instrumental timbre, orchestration, the libretto, various feminist angles, and cultural analysis in the wider context of the Me Too movement, just to name a few ideas. Prism is a captivating work that certainly cannot be summarized in just one podcast or two. The subject material of this podcast and Prism is of a very difficult nature. If you are in need of resources related to sexual assault or trauma, you can visit the National Sexual Assault Resource Organization RAIN at online.rain.org. That's online.rain.org. Where you can anonymously chat with one of their trained specialists or call their 24/7 anonymous hotline at 800-656-4673. I would like to take a moment to thank the people who helped make this episode happen. Thank you to the team lead, Matthew Ferrandino, my peer reviewers, Colleen Renahan and Evan Ware, and producer, Zachary Lloyd. I additionally want to thank Megan Lyons at SMT Pod and Professor Rachel Lumsden of Florida State University. Without either of them, this project would not have happened.
Visit our website, smt-pod.org, for supplementary materials related to this episode and to learn how to submit an episode proposal. Join in the conversation by tweeting us your questions and comments at SMT_pod. SMT Pod's theme music was written by Maria Tartaglia, with closing music by Ika Jung. Thanks for listening.